Welcome to Score Business Point, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. I'm going to give you a scenario. Think you can tell me when it happened? Critical supply chains are choked off. Demand soars. Prices surge, and everyone starts freaking out about inflation and wonder how long it will last. Is it 1916? 1945? 1974? The answer, of course, is all of the above, and you can throw in 2021 and 22 in there as well. Inflation is not something new for the United States. The nation has weathered 7 such episodes of lasting price surges since World War II. This includes the current run, which is the strongest in 30 years. Getting out of the pandemic shock has been a difficult exercise for the world's largest economy. Inflation has been a painful side effect. To add to the mix, we now have the war between Ukraine and Russia. This war has put a strain on all the world economies. Over the past 30-some-odd years, the world has become more like one economy. The end of World War II marked a new beginning of the global economy. Led by the United States, and aided by the technologies of the Second Industrial Revolution, like the car and the plane, global trade started to rise once again. At first, this happened in 2 separate tracks, as the Iron Curtain divided the world into 2 spheres of influence. But, as of 1989, when the Iron Curtain fell, globalization became a truly global phenomenon. Then, when the wall dividing East and West Germany fell, and the Soviet Union collapsed, globalization became an all-conquering force. The newly created World Trade Organization encouraged nations all over the world to enter into free trade agreements. And most of them did, including many newly independent ones. At the same time, a new technology from the Third Industrial Revolution, the Internet, connected people all over the world in an even more direct way. The result has been a globalization on steroids. In the 2000s, global exports reached a milestone as they rose to about a quarter of global GDP. In a healthy economy, prices tend to go up. While you might not like it as a consumer, moderate price growth is a sign of a healthy, growing economy. And historically, at least, wages tend to go up at about the same pace during periods of inflation. Inflation is healthy for the economy. But too much can trigger a recession. According to the National Bureau of Economic Research, NBER, since World War II, the U.S. has experienced 12 recessions. An average of 1 every 6 years. Indeed, recessions happen. They are more common than most people realize. Most business owners are likely to encounter several over the course of their career. The NBER defines a recession as a significant decline in economic activity spread across the economy, lasting more than a few months. It is normally visible as declines in gross domestic product, real income, employment, industrial production, and wholesale retail sales. Since 1950, recessions have lasted between 2 and 18 months, a duration that can be stressful for business owners, since they don't know how long it will last. A business can freefall without an end in sight if it isn't ready. But not all businesses are affected in the same way or to the same extent during a recession. Nearly 3/4 of U.S. public companies with $50 million or more in annual sales had declining revenue growth during the last 4 economic downturns. At the same time, 14% accelerated revenue growth and increased profitability. This is according to a Harvard Business Review study. The difference in outcomes was largely due to the type of product or service they sold and how they met customers' needs. Customers still buy essentials during economic downturns, such as food, utilities, and other household staples. Additionally, certain services are still in demand during the recession, such as healthcare, automotive repairs, and education. Industries that provide recession-resistant products and services are sometimes called recession-proof or defensive businesses. It's crucial for business owners to prepare their organizations to survive and possibly even thrive through the next recession, whenever it comes. With that in mind, let me pass along some strategies that have helped protect many companies in various industries during past recessions. These strategies may not all be appropriate for any particular business, but selecting the right ones can help to recession-proof any organization. Businesses not in one of these recession-proof industries I mentioned just a little while ago can use some of these strategies I will outline to avoid or reduce the impact of a recession on their operations. Business owners wear many hats and are crunched for time. The basic practices of good business hygiene are often the first to be put on the back burner. Included in the back burner status is the practice around advanced planning, cultivating long-term business strategies, and investing in growth. Yet during a recession, these practices have been known to make all the difference to a business's success. To help you determine what is best for your company, I have categorized these strategies into four categories: good hygiene, pre-planning, cultivation, and investing. Let me start with good hygiene. The first of these strategies is create a cash flow plan. Running out of cash is always a top concern for business owners, but it becomes especially important during a recession. Start by getting a handle on your current cash balances and monthly sources and uses of cash. Create a rolling cash flow forecast for the next quarter to guide the management team. It will serve as an early warning tool that alerts them to variances. Number two, assess workforce needs. Take stock of the number of employees and their skills. Ensure that they align with what your business may need during a recession. Be ready to make adjustments so that employees work efficiently and are organized in a way that maximizes their potential. Number three, operate within your budget. This tip is the core of good business hygiene. It makes intuitive sense to operate within your budget so that the business is in the best possible position should a recession hit. In fact, following a budget or operating plan is a best practice at all times. Some recessions, like the one associated with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, come without any economic early warning signals. Number four, build up employee skills. You'll need to rely on your team to help your business stay flexible, pivot, and think creatively during a recession. So it's important that employees are in prime shape to meet these challenges. Building up skills and cross-training staff can help achieve that end. As a practical matter, investing in employees can help them feel more connected to the business. It also makes them more willing to go the extra mile when they're called on to do so. Number five, track marketing key performance indicators, KPIs. It's critical to track marketing results and continue to monitor marketing KPIs. Only campaigns that are achieving the desired results should continue. Those that aren't should be stopped. Number six, beat the competition. Beating the competition is a popular rallying cry for many businesses, but it takes a different turn as part of recession proofing. Recessions have a way of weeding out certain companies as they jockey for their share of a shrinking market. Some companies can't ride out longer recession periods. For these reasons, it's important to be a market beater. Collect deep intel on your customers before a recession hits. You can start by gaining an understanding of your product's strengths and weaknesses compared to your competitors, from the customer's perspective. And number seven, be patient. Several studies indicate that medium to large family businesses have particular success weathering economic downturns. Their success is partially credited to multiple generations having the wisdom and experience to patiently ride out the ups and downs of many business cycles. The resulting level-headed crisis management and long-term perspective supports their ability to be patient. On top of that, the fundamental support of lower debt levels and lack of external shareholder pressures helps a family business. It's important to remember, though, that patience and complacency are not the same. Patience has prerequisites, namely following advice, possibly from this list or from mentors, to position your business to have the foundational supports that enable patience. Let's move on to pre-planning. Number one is know your liquidity options. Investigate potential sources of capital before you need to use them. Consider revolving loans, owner infusions, alternative financing, private equity, and government resources, including loans backed by the Small Business Administration. Number two, establish flexible client agreements. One way to help build customer loyalty is through negotiated flexibility where one hand washes the other. offer rewards in return for contracted sales volume, or customize offerings in exchange for faster payment terms. In addition to enhancing variables that help stabilize revenue streams, being flexible can create goodwill and repeat customers. Number 3, create a business emergency fund. Every financial planner tells individual savers to establish an emergency fund to cover personal expenses. A cash cushion is a wise business investment too, especially for smaller companies that can't easily tap debt markets the way a large enterprise might. Create an emergency cash fund that can cover up to 6 months of essential costs, including payroll, inventory, and utilities. Aggressively collecting receivables can help get you started. Consider business continuity insurance as a different path to the same objective. Number 4, assess your organization's risk tolerance. Do a gut check on how much risk your organization can handle. Look at its risk attitude and how much additional risk it's willing to take on. It's important to do an honest assessment of yourself, your staff, and your systems to determine how adaptable they are. Also, how much risk can they absorb before cracking under pressure? Layer in the hard costs of missing goals as well as the soft costs, such as reputation management. With that background, consider how much additional risk your business is willing to take on. Ask yourself, how much uncertainty can you and your staff handle? How adaptable are your systems and processes? How much money can you afford to lose? How much reputational risk can you withstand? And what is your breaking point? Then, create a range of tolerance along with metrics for measuring it. Number 5, pay down debt. Being as debt-free as possible positions a company to have the highest amount of capital available to draw on in the future, should you need it. Prepayment of debt may also save some interest expenses, which can be tucked away in cash reserves. Remember number 3, create an emergency fund? Number 6, find ways to cut back. Since maintaining a product's level of quality is particularly important during a recession, cutting back operation expenses can be a challenging task. Whatever you decide to cut should be invisible to customers. When looking for ways to cut back, it's helpful to start with the biggest costs. See if there are small tweaks that can result in big expense reductions, such as taking advantage of early payment discounts from suppliers. Other examples include automating previously manual tasks and shifting the mix of labor between full-time workers and contractors. Number 7, create an action plan before business slows down. It's a good practice to do scenario planning and develop action plans. This can be done well before a crisis hits. Creating thoughtful action plans can help minimize errors made under stress or bad decisions made in the moment. Soliciting employee ideas can pre-bake their buy-in should you, as the business owner, trigger the plan. Number 8, reduce overhead. Overhead costs are expenses that remain constant regardless of revenue, so they become particularly problematic in a recession. But a slash-and-burn approach can cause more harm than good. So it's helpful to identify 3 stages of overhead reductions: easy trimming, cuts that require process changes, and drastic cuts. Easy trimming might include renegotiating contracts with suppliers, or changing vendors for services like office cleaning, or telecommunications, or reducing or eliminating staff perks. The next stage might include eliminating travel and entertainment spending and outsourcing certain functions. Doing those 2 things would necessitate changes in workflow. Drastic overhead reductions are those that can yield the most savings but are the most disruptive. Employee layoffs, real estate consolidation, and moving to a remote workforce are examples of more drastic cuts. Identifying ways to reduce overhead in advance of a recession can help with scenario planning. This may even help find cost-saving measures that make sense regardless of macroeconomic conditions. Number 9, downsize inventory. Inventory costs money and requires careful monitoring. During a recession, when inventory turnover may be slow, inventory can become even more costly. It also becomes more susceptible to obsolescence, theft, damage, and higher costs for longer storage. While downsizing inventory can combat these costs, it's important to maintain a balance between converting inventory to cash and retaining the ability to fulfill orders. Stockouts can mean lost revenue and can impair customer relationships. Downsize the less popular, less profitable, and more easily replaced inventory to increase cash flow. You should also evaluate the supply chain and consider stocking up on best sellers. Number 10, consider financing before an emergency happens. It's a good idea to do some pre-work on financing before you need it. Some examples include appraising assets that might be used as collateral, discussing trade credit options with vendors, improving your business credit ratings, or renegotiating extended payment terms on existing loans. Do your homework on asset-based financing, like accounts receivable financing, factoring, or purchase order financing, especially if you have never used them before. The next category is cultivation. The first strategy in this category is create multiple revenue streams. This strategy requires some out-of-the-box thinking. You need to figure out how a business can tap into new revenue streams using its current infrastructure. The concept involves capturing new money without making a major investment. For example, consider whether you can add business-to-business customers, if you typically sell directly to consumers, or vice versa. Extend your geographic footprint by selling online, or repurpose your manufacturing process for a new product. For example, a bakery could start offering take-home kits for birthday parties. One thing you don't want to do is add too many additional products or stray out of your product category. Number 2 is to modify your offerings. Identify ways to modify an offering to make it more attractive to customers during the downturn. Modifications can be made to the product itself, how it is delivered, or how it is priced in order to cater to the way customers' needs might change during an economic downturn. Examples include offering new product assortments or sizes, offering services virtually, or pivoting from formal dresswear to casual loungewear. Number 3 is to invest time in client relationships. Staying close to your customers makes sense in all economic climates and especially during a recession. Understanding their changing needs may put your business in a position to preserve revenue. You may even penetrate the market more deeply. Cultivation strategy number 4 is strategize as if you plan to sell your business. Many businesses rely heavily on a few key people to keep running. However, business owners should set their businesses up to survive on their own, similar to the role of parents launching capable children. How do you achieve this objective? Set up a business and its processes in a way that would continue to be successful if the company were sold to an outside entity. This often requires changing processes, delegating authority, and a lot of staff training. This idea makes sense regardless of the macroeconomic conditions. But it is especially important during a recession because it allows the business owner to steer the ship rather than row the boat. Number 5 is niche down. Take a page from the recession-proof industries. Their customers continue to purchase goods and services perceived as essential. Create a similar sentiment among your customers, even if your product or service is not as essential. One way to achieve this is to niche down. Niching down means to cater so much to a specific need that your business becomes an essential go-to for it. Instead of an all-purpose bakery, become a gluten-free bakery. Instead of running a sporting goods store, become a soccer store. Instead of being a realtor, be a first-time home buyer consultant. You get the idea? But you must choose wisely. Niching down requires truly mastering the niche. Otherwise, customers will become dissatisfied and alienated. It's not an easy strategy to execute, but done well, customers will be more likely to support your business, preserving your revenue. Number 6, invest in strategic partnerships. Sometimes there can be strength in numbers. Some strategic partnerships can help make products or services more attractive to customers. Other times, it's an unfortunate way of slicing up a smaller revenue pie. Choose partners that increase the perceived value of your product. Value, quality, and durability tend to be key attributes customers seek out during hard times. Number 7 is consider the pivot. In business, pivoting means adjusting your path to meet customers where they are going. Pivoting is not a wholesale change. Instead, it leverages the current businesses in a different way. Sometimes a pivot can be planned. More often it involves making in-the-moment calls on the field after the market has started to decline. It can be a recession-proofing strategy or a simple way to survive the decline of a specific market. A successful pivot requires staying in close contact with customers and maintaining a willingness to step away from tried and true thinking. Examples of successful business pivots can be seen in the restaurant industry. During the pandemic, these businesses pivoted from offering fine dining experiences to outdoor dining and offered meals to go. Now to the last category, investing. The first strategy is to diversify investments. At first glance, this strategy may conjure ideas of diversifying a personal investment portfolio. A good idea and applicable if the business holds investments. But this strategy is meant to challenge business owners to think about where they have invested capital. You know, things such as fixed assets and external partnerships. Analyze the return on investment for current holdings and, if necessary, consider shifting funds to existing and new investments with higher returns. As an example, there may be opportunities to purchase new machinery or even another firm at a bargain price. Number 2 is invest in adaptable technology. The right technology can help a business running during the challenging times while also saving money. It's best to have technology installed and tested in advance to avoid costly or embarrassing errors during the crisis. You might think of having the technology in place to change distribution methods, such as switching over to a virtual delivery. This allows service businesses to earn revenue when physical or in-person delivery isn't an option, such as for tutoring, performances, and publishing. In a similar vein, online ordering and contactless payment technology can help customers continue to buy products from restaurants and retailers. These technologies can be a permanent addition, thereby giving customers another way to interact with a business. Number 3 is the last strategy I'm offering, and it's don't skip nurture campaigns. Since a key focus of recession-proofing is preserving revenue, it's important to continue marketing and promotion efforts. Loyalty campaigns geared towards recapturing past customers or increasing penetration with current customers can help keep the customer base healthy. It's more costly to find new customers than to stimulate current ones. Targeted promotions, especially those that align with customer pain points, can help increase market share if competitors go dark. I didn't realize until just now that I've offered a lot of suggestions to recession-proof your business. Let me quickly repeat them. For good hygiene, they are: create a cash flow plan, assess your workforce needs, operate within your budget, build employee skills, track marketing key performance indicators, beat out the competition, and be patient. For pre-planning, they were: know your liquidity options, set up flexible client agreements, create a business emergency fund before recession strikes, assess your organization's risk tolerance, pay down debt, find ways to cut back, create an action plan before business slows down, reduce overhead, downsize inventory. For cultivation, the suggestions were: create multiple revenue streams, modify your offerings, invest time in client relationships, strategize your plan to sell your business, niche down, invest in strategic partnerships, and consider pivoting. And finally, in investing, the offerings were: diversify investments, invest in adaptable technology, and don't skip nurture campaigns. Stock market analysts often point to certain industries when discussing defensive stock investments. These are sectors that remain steady regardless of the macroeconomic environment. Typically, these industries provide essential products and services. These products or services are needed regardless of a recession or a crisis. Customers are said to have inelastic demands for these products. The list is fairly intuitive. Patients still visit doctors in a recession. People still need to eat, drink, and turn on the lights. But there are a few surprises, such as comfort and vice items. Although given how liquor sales spiked during the COVID-19 pandemic, maybe that isn't such a surprise after all. What's considered essential is constantly evolving, so the mix of recession-proof industries continuously changes. The list will expand and contract based on customers' needs and inelastic vices. Probably subject to much debate and largely beyond the scope of this discussion, an example of a future recession-proof industry might include Wi-Fi and internet connectivity, especially with the rise of virtual environments for work, school, and leisure. Recession-proofing a business requires planning and action before and during an economic downturn. Business leaders need useful and accurate financial data. They also need robust analysis tools in order to develop these plans and execute their strategies. If you don't have them now, make sure you talk with your accountant. You want to make sure you can understand current results as well as develop what-if scenarios and forecasts. This will allow you to closely monitor results and act quickly. By the time the business owner knows they're in a recession, many may feel it's too late to do anything more meaningful than slash costs. Recession-proofing a business must begin long before the economic downturn arrives. Recession-proofing is best approached in a thoughtful, measured way to avoid potential errors. It requires a balance of surgical cost-cutting, smart customer marketing, and strategic investment. As an owner, you don't want to be ill-prepared for a crisis. Using some of these recession-proofing tips can help your company survive or even thrive during an economic downturn. If you would like more information about this show or any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If you have a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points or comment about this show or past shows, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They have been doing this for over 50 years. Because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, and thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information about how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit oceancounty.score.org. Oceancounty.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. Score Business Points is a production of the Ocean County Chapter of SCORE at 91.9 WBNJ.